Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want you to find Proverbs 22 tonight. And I probably will see, depending on how it comes out, we'll look at several scriptures tonight. But I want to begin at Proverbs 22. And I want to talk about this, about enlarging your boundaries. You know, boundaries are something that, you know, hems you in. You know, you live in a place wherever your house is at, you got boundaries. You know, you got your borders, and so you can't go beyond them and decide, you know what, I really don't want to take up any more room in my yard, so I'm going to build my shed on my neighbor's yard. How many know that's a recipe for giving your neighbor a shed? Because they got legal rights to tell you, you know, whatever you put over here stays over here. Amen. So you got boundaries, you know, maybe you have a fence and so forth. But, and we can have that in life. We can have boundaries where we only allow God to do so much in our life because of our thinking. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. But I wanted to start here in Proverbs 22, verse 28, because there's an interesting verse, and we're going to spiritualize it. You know, sometimes even some of the scriptures in the Old Testament had double references, and Paul would use them that way. You know, like, don't muzzle the ox that treads out the grain. Paul used that for supporting ministry and preachers. And he said, did you think God said that for oxen? It was said for our sake. So, yeah, they kept that for the oxen in their day. But Paul said that had a double reference. And so I want to look at this kind of that way. This verse, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28 says, remove not the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Now, I want to kind of talk about that just a little bit spiritually, about how we shouldn't have less than our fathers in the faith had in the church. We shouldn't settle for less. We should have more, because our fathers in the faith, you know, I have fathers in the faith that fathered me in the faith. To help me in my, you know, get started in ministry, get going in my Christian life. And, you know, I don't want to remove the landmarks spiritually that they set and settle for less than what they taught me I could have. Right? Right? See, I see the church sometimes, you know, settling for less than what we've been taught. And I've just decided I'm not going to settle for less. I actually want more. I want more. And so, you know, many of the things that we know today, you know, like, I mean, when I got born again, you know, God brought some people into my life, you know, some personally, some their teaching affected my life, and I began to see things I didn't know that I could have. And I listened. I listened. Always know this, those that have been in the way, in the faith longer than you, probably know more than you do. And so some of these men, and also women, had been in the faith and been serving God for a lot longer than I had. I just got started. And so I just started listening to them. And what they told me, I believed it. Now, well, you know, of course, I checked it with the Bible. You know, you're supposed to do that. Right? You're supposed to check it with the Bible. And, of course, they actually, in their teaching, took me to the Bible. Amen. And read the verses for me, and I read them with them and saw, well, yeah, that's in the Bible, you know. I got taught that a lot of things that some thought was passed away weren't passed away. Amen. I found out healing wasn't passed away. I found out that tongues hadn't passed away. Amen. Amen. And I found out some of the things that, you know, we believed. You know, people believed. I didn't believe. I didn't really know anything. You know, I mean, I just didn't know much about church, about when I got saved or Christianity. I knew some things, but not much. But I found out a lot of things that people thought passed away. They just all they had done is remove the landmarks. that our fathers had set. Now, you don't think that's true. See, some of the denominations today that, you know, they're so far away from God's word were started by people that were on fire for God. I mean, on fire. They really had more of a move of God than we do today. Their churches, their denominations, their churches are dead as a doornail today. Doorknob, I guess I should say, doornail. I don't know what a doornail is. I guess you couldn't have a nail in the door, but anyway, it works for me. But yet their leaders were much different than the way the church looks today, because they removed the ancient landmarks that their fathers had set up. And they began thinking smaller about God and about what he could do in their life. But they began to come up with religious ideas and teachings that, you know, some teach that poverty is a blessing. Well, one pastor in his office, he had this sign. And it was a good sign. He said, "I've been poor and I've been rich. And rich is better." Now, if you don't know how to handle, and when we're talking about rich, you know, we're not talking about millionaires and stuff like that. But like Brother Hagin used to say, rich means a full supply. Right. A full supply. And so whatever that equates to in your life, all right? So I just began to seed things in the beginning days that, you know, I'm glad I got a hold of the Word of God. I hadn't been saved very long, and people started giving me the Word. And you know, one of the things, and I would just got saved. I've been saved about, I don't know, a week or so, and some guy brought me by a Dake Bible. And I thought, woo-wee, man. I mean, have you ever read a Dake Bible? If you don't have a Dake Bible, go buy you a Dake Bible. And yeah, you're going to, and I, if I remember right, I read every note in the Bible. And he spent 100,000 hours annotating the Bible, making notes on the Bible. And most of it's fantastic, you know. It's just really rich. It's good stuff. And so I just began feeding on things like that. And then somebody gave me some of Brother Hagin's, in those days it was cassettes and all. And then I got some from Mom. She had some and all. And I began listening to these people preach. And, man, I thought, where in the world was this? You know, I didn't know that. I just thought if you got saved, you got delivered from hell. Thank God that's a good part of it. I'll take that. How about you? But I didn't realize that there were other things. There were other benefits. Like David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits." So that means there's more than one. And you in the list, who forgives all your iniquities, thank God for that, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who fills your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And so I began to read those things and hear about those things. And, you know, I began to hear people preach and stuff. And, you know, they had the boundary set pretty good. And so we don't want to go smaller, and you know, because here's what happened. You know, sometimes people, as human beings, and I hope you, this is not an unbelief statement. It, you know, it's true. As human beings, sometimes we have failures. And there, it's. I mean, no, it's always on us, like I talked a while ago. It's not God, it's us, and we, you know, we're still people and we still have failures. And so I think one of the reasons why the boundaries got smaller, like people stopped believing in divine healing, is because they had failures there. And so they just use that as an excuse. It's just religious, like God doesn't heal any longer because I didn't get healed. Well, maybe it was just a, you know, and I'm not, maybe it was a failure on your part. Maybe you didn't hear from God. What do you mean? Well, you know, when I face sickness, people say, well, can you go to the doctor? Can you use medicine? Hey, I use everything at my disposal. Everything. Unless the Lord tells me, don't do this or don't do, I've had him tell me before, don't do don't go the medical way. Now, that's him telling me that. Go the faith way. Don't go that way. All right? So if he says that, then I'm not going that way. I'm going to teach on that sometime, because we need to understand there's multiple paths. You can't just fit God in a box and say he's going to heal me this way. You got to listen to what he's got to say, because he knows more about your body than the doctor does, than you do, than the nutritionist does, than anybody does. He knows more about your body. Amen. And so, but we don't want to make the boundaries any smaller. We want to, the guidebook is the Word of God. It's the Word, and whatever it says is where we want to be with our boundaries, right? You know what I'm saying? You don't, you know, you're probably not okay if your neighbor puts a fence and he says, you know, I'm going to take about 3 feet of your property. Is that okay? I mean, probably not okay with that, right? Right? You want it all. Because, you know, maybe you don't need it right now, but someday you may sell it and you may want that 3 feet. Amen. And so we have to watch our boundaries. Now, Proverbs, we're in Proverbs 22. Go over to the next chapter, 23. And verse 7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So it's your thought life that's going to set your boundaries. See, and notice he says, "as he thinketh in his heart." Now, let me explain that to you, because, you know, if you think something long enough, how many know it gets down in your heart? And out of your heart are the issues. You know what that word issues means? It means, one of the things it means, boundaries. The boundaries of your life come out of your heart. It's not determined by God. He said his horizons are large. All right? But what we walk in, that's determined by us. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Remember the madman of Gadara? How many remember the madman of Gadara? I mean, he is not a guy that you want to move in the neighborhood. I mean, he's attacking people. He wears no clothes. You bind him with fetters and chains. He breaks them apart. He lives in the tombs. But Jesus shows up. Hallelujah. Jesus shows up and delivers the guy. And the Bible said he was clothed and in his right mind. See, his life didn't get straightened out till his mind got straightened out. He had to change his thinking. He may have thought, there's no hope for me. He may have thought, this is my boundaries. This is my lot in life. You ever heard somebody say that? It's just my lot in life. Well, guess what? You probably determined that to be your lot in life, not God. Go read his word and find out what he said about your life. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you about some things here in just a little bit. Some of the things I had to do some changing in my mind, the way I thought about things. Because, I wasn't thinking big enough. Now, go to Isaiah 55. I told you, I'm going to look at some scripture tonight. But we're going to hammer something home. And that is that you can enlarge your boundaries. Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm on board for this. I'm on board for this. Isaiah chapter 55. I love Isaiah 55. Verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way," and notice this: "the unrighteous man his thoughts." So, you know, when you get saved, you got some thoughts to forsake. I sure did. You got some thoughts, because you think about life different than what God thinks about life. You think about things different than the way God thinks about them. And so I had to begin to renew my mind with God's word and begin to think different about life, about life's issues. Everything you want to think about. You know, if you want to think about, having a God thinks different about marriage than the world does. God thinks different about money than the world does. God thinks different about healing and health than the world does. God thinks different about everything than the world does. So you got to go find out, what does he think about this? What has he said about this? And so he said, let him forsake his thoughts. Notice, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Aren't you glad about that? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. All right? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I mean, you know, his thoughts are so much higher than our natural thoughts. His ways are so much higher than our natural ways. I mean, if you go to a natural financial planner, they can help you, but you've got to stick with the Bible too, because, you know, I heard a guy say this, and I respect the guy, I do, and he's given a lot of good wisdom to a lot of people. But I heard him say one day, he said, now, if you're in debt, stop giving. Now, that is the world's way, but how many know that's not God's way? Remember the widow woman, you know, that was in debt, and her husband was in debt, you know? Well, see, you got to listen to the prophet. The woman with the last biscuit, remember that? Yeah. Remember her? Yeah. And what did the prophet say? She said, I'm just going to eat this, make it for my son and me. We're going to eat it, and we're going to die. Now, here's the thing. God's got a sense of humor. Because when you read that story, God sent the prophet to her to sustain the prophet. Remember, he's at the brook. The brook dries up. He sends him to the widow woman, and she's getting ready to die. There's all these dead people around from the famine, right? From the drought. You know, and then the widow woman's like, man, hey, you know, and she could have said it this way. Look, man, there's a famine. Don't you know that? He said, oh, yeah, I know. I'm responsible for it. I prophesied it. Well, he was right. He's the one that prophesied it. And so God said, go to this widow woman and she will sustain you. When he gets there, she doesn't have anything. Well, God's got something in mind, doesn't he? He's going to feed her, her son, and the prophet. And the Bible says, she said, I don't have anything but a little cake, little meal, little flour, little oil, and I got a stick, and we're going to go, I'm going to light a fire. I'm going to build a cake for me and my son. We're going to eat it, and we're checking out. Amen. And he said, wait a minute. He said, hey, make me one first. Boy, wouldn't CNN have fun with that? The evangelist asked for widow woman's last biscuit. But see, and then he said, for thus saith the Lord, the cruse of oil will not fail, the barrel of meal will not cease until the Lord sends rain on the earth. See, God's got a way of bringing things to pass that you know, how many know, you couldn't just sit around and dream that up and think, you know, I think God's going to send me to a widow woman who doesn't have anything and is about to die and she's going to help me. How many know you think God's going to send me to a rich person? Amen. Here's what I've learned in ministry. Usually, it's the people that it's the rich people that don't do anything. Amen. So, you understand God's got ways of doing things that we'd never think of. We'd never think of, but He can get it done. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen. Now, verse 10 says. Now, let me stop there just for a minute. You know, God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. You know, he could have stopped right there and said, take that. But he didn't. Notice what he said. He says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It'll not return to me void, but it'll accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. What is God saying? God's simply saying, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways, because thoughts become ways. You know that. And so, but he said, I'm going to send my word, and what is he saying? He said, I'm going to send my word to you. It's going to give you my thoughts. It's going to give you my ways. So we have to go back to the Word to find out what God said about everything. And He tells what's going to happen when He sends His Word. How many know God has sent His Word to us, right? Yeah. And He sent His Word in the form of this book. And He sent His Word to us. And He tells us what will happen in verse 12. He says, you will go out with joy. You'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. In other words, instead of the curse, the thorn being the curse, the blessing is going to come up in your life. And it'll be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What's said there? Well, Isaiah is simply saying, God's saying, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways. Forsake your thoughts, take up my thoughts, because my thoughts are my word, and my word will cause your life to bring forth and bud.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it'll cause you to prosper.
Yes.
And it'll give you peace.
Yes.
And it'll give you joy.
Yes.
Well, I can say amen. It did all that to me.
Amen.
But I had to forsake my thoughts. I'm still, 40-some years later, kicking my thoughts to the curb.
Amen.
We have dumb thoughts sometimes. How many all admit, every now and then you have a dumb thought. You got to kick it to the curb. That's a dumb thought. You know, in times of trouble, you got to make sure you got the word in you so it comes out. You know, I remember way back, just several years, man, it was like 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, we had a tornado come through our area here. And it hit about 2 o'clock in the morning, knocked all the power out, you know. So I get up about 5:30, and I think my mom called me. And said, are you okay? I'm like, it's 5:30 in the morning. Well, why wouldn't I be okay? And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. She said, well, a tornado came through your area and, you know, and did a lot of damage, actually killed people. And so it's 5:30 in the morning. So I jump out of bed. And Phyllis, she gets up and we jump out of bed. And I said, well, I'm going to go, you know, and there's no electricity. Power's off. But here's what my brain told me. Go upstairs, turn on the TV and see what happened. Didn't it? I said, I'm going upstairs, turn the TV on, see what's happening. She goes, the power's out. Oh, yeah, right. TV doesn't work without power. How many of that's my brain, and that's your brain. That's why God said, forsake your thoughts, right? And pick up His thoughts. See, our thoughts are really low. His thoughts are really high. But the good thing is, He gave us His Word so we could think His thoughts. He gave us His thoughts. It hit me one day, reading this and thinking about this. When I read the Word, I actually can think a thought that God has already thought. That's a good thought. See, one guy said he told his young daughter to go clean her room. He told her, you go in there and clean your room. She said, that's not my thought. He said, you better make it your thought. But I mean, we can have thoughts that God has already thought by His Word. Amen? All right, go to Isaiah. Well, we're already in Isaiah. Go to the 54th chapter. Go there. Isaiah 54. Y'all staying up with me? I know I'm looking at some scripture tonight, but I intended to. I had these verses I want to just put out there for us to think about. And to you know, this is where we're going to really challenge you right here in this one. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1. Challenge all of us. He says, sing, O barren, you that did not bear, and break forth into singing and cry aloud, you that did not travail with child. So when are you supposed to sing? You're supposed to sing before the manifestation. Not after. You sing afterwards, of course, but you're supposed to sing before. You that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Verse 2, what's the word? Enlarge. The place of your tent, let him stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you shall. This is something that's going to happen. This is future tense. But if you do what God says, this is what's going to happen to you. You'll break forth on the right hand and on the left. Amen. So what is being said here? Well, to bring it down to what we're talking tonight, he's talking about enlarge your thinking. I want you to break forth. I want things to break forth in your life, but you've got to enlarge the way you think about things. You have to think bigger. You know, I hit a time in my life where I realized I got to think bigger. Phyllis helped me to start thinking bigger about some things. I remember, and I've told this story before, but it really was a challenge in my life. You know, when we got married, she had a house, you know, already. And so we lived there for a while before we sold it. But the house payment, now you're not going to believe this, but I'm telling you the truth, and she can verify, the house payment was $167 a month. How many would like to have that back? You know, I look at rental houses today, I'm thinking, who pays for this? Who does this? And so anyway, so we sold that house and bought a house out in the country. And man, our house payment jumped up to like $289 a month. So that's where we're living at. That's what we have. And, you know, it's a nice home. I mean, you know, it's not a mansion or anything, but we like it. It's been remodeled. It was like a World War II house. Farm on this farm that this guy had taken. He was a construction guy. Totally redid it inside and out. And so a lot of new stuff in it. And so we bought that. We had 40 trees. Hallelujah. And we're out in the country. And so, but then God began to deal with me about coming to this area and start a church. And all I could think of was, I don't know anybody there, and I haven't lost anything there, and I'm fine where I'm at. Took me a year and a half to obey. Finally, I had to have a prophetic word just rebuked me. Really, I was in the service one night, just minding my own business. I had good sense. And the pastor stops. It was Pastor Debbie. And she stopped. She said, I'll tell you this part so you can understand this. On the way up to this service, you know, I knew God was dealing with me about moving and starting a church. And on the way up to that service, I'm by myself going to the service. Phyllis was packing for us. I think we were going to camp meeting in Tulsa. And I'm on my way to the church, and I'm praying. And, you know, it's about a half hour from our house or so. And I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, you got to give me more confirmation. I mean, you're asking me to change my ministry, leave this house, which my wife loves. Amen. You know, God tells you to do these things, then you have to tell your wife. But she already got picked it up, you know, started picking it up. But anyway, so I'm driving up there and I'm saying, Lord, you got to give me more confirmation. I mean, this is a big step. You're talking me to leave everything here, to leave the church, to leave the home, to move. And I just got to have some more confirmation than I have right now. That's what I prayed on the way up to the meeting. I get in the meeting after praise and worship. Pastor Debbie stops and says, there's somebody here. You just ask the Lord for more confirmation. I mean, she's already got my attention. She said, the Lord said to tell you, you don't need any more confirmation. And he told me to give you Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Now, I know you all know what Acts 22, 16 says, so I don't need to tell you, right? Acts 22, 16 in the King James Bible says, why tarriest thou? Is that a direct word or what? Now, you understand, she has no idea the Lord's dealing with me about this. She does not know. We've told nobody except maybe one or two people, maybe three. I don't know. But we had told nobody because I was hoping it would go away. And so, obviously, I turned white because after the service was over, she made a beeline and said, what was that about? I said, well, will you and myself and Greg will have to go out and get a bite to eat. I'll have to tell you. It's just not like something you tell somebody in the middle, the center of the church aisle. But when we came down here, the house prices were a lot different than they were where we were at, astronomically different. Now, eventually, I think it caught up there, but it hadn't caught up there yet. We were paying $298 or $289 a month. To rent a house down here, the cheapest that I saw was $700. Now, that's okay if you have a job, but I don't have a job. I'm coming down here to start a church. And in those days, that was a lot of money. And so I told Phyllis, we looked at one house this lady had for rent. It was a nice place, you know, wasn't elaborate, but it was nice. And, but, you know, she wanted $750, I don't know, $750 she wanted for it a month. And I told Phyllis, I said, you know, I'm not paying that. So that's not happening. First of all, I don't have a job. Secondly, you know, I have a place I like better than this. I just left and it's $289. So I'm not doing it. We're going to get an apartment. Nothing wrong with an apartment, you understand. But she's not an apartment dweller. Now, I could be, maybe, but she's not. And she said, I don't want to dwell in an apartment. I said, well, I'm not paying that. Then she asked me some questions. She said, did the Lord send us here? I said, yes, he did. She said, did he know how much houses cost? I said, call the woman. See, I had to enlarge my thinking. And then, you know, after a while, it's like, man, God's serious about this. We're going to stay here. We better find a place that's ours instead of paying all these people this money every month and not getting anything in return. So we better find, you know, so we look at houses and stuff, and you know what I'm saying? My mind's still not renewed, man. I'm telling you, not totally in that area. And I would see that, and I would just think, I can't see us in that. Now, I'm a faith guy, but how do you know? Your mind has to, you have to keep your mind renewed with the Word of God. See, and so I had to let God bless me. I didn't have any money. And then one day a builder calls me. He says, I was renting one of his houses. He says, why are you renting one of my houses? Why don't you just buy one of my houses? I said, I don't have a down payment. I don't have any of that. He said, well, I can take care of that. I can fix that for you. I said, it better be legal. I did. I told him that because he said, oh, it's legal. I said, well, show me what you got. So he sold us a brand new house. You know, we lived there for a little while and then built a house. But anyway, you follow what I'm saying? It isn't about things, but if you can't believe for natural things, how do you think you're going to believe for spiritual things? Jesus said, if you can't be faithful in that which is least, who's going to give you much? If you can't be faithful in money, this is Luke 16, how could you be trusted with the true riches? God said, I can't even trust you with a little bit of money. How can I trust you with my anointing? Right? So it does have an effect because if we can't be faithful with the tithe, how could we be faithful with the gifts of the Spirit? The true wealth. But you have to renew your mind. You have to think bigger. And I've had to continue to do that to let God bless me and bring me up. Not just so, you know, and we're not millionaires. I wish we were. Maybe someday we will be. I'm not ruling it out. But, you know, we're not millionaires. We're not even half millionaires. We're not even half a millionaire. But God is able to do whatever needs to be done. And it ain't about money for me. But thank God, He'll bless you in that area, right? Amen. He said, I don't believe in that prosperity thing. Well, don't worry about it. I can help you. I'll take your paycheck every week. It will help you stay in poverty. I'll give you enough just to feed you and the dog. Praise the Lord. No, how many know? People go to work 40 hours, 50 hours a week. You know what I'm saying? They go to college, you know, so they can make more money, earn more money. There's nothing really wrong with that as long as you don't let money have you. Amen. Amen. So, you see, he said, as a man thinketh in his heart. See, thoughts, we have all kinds of thoughts come to our brain. How many know that? But the ones that we meditate on and we make our decisions on, those are the ones that's gotten down in our heart. Those control our life. You know, we all have fleeting thoughts, good, bad, and ugly. Well, I've never had an ugly thought. You're sure you have. Everybody has. The devil makes sure of that. So those don't control our life. We just kick those to the curb. How many know the Bible says bringing into captivity? How many thoughts? Every thought. Don't let them run loose. You know, they say, well, you're always going to be this, and you're always going to be that, and it's not according to the Word. Don't allow that to run loose. You're never going to have anything. Don't let it run loose. Amen. Now, go to Psalm. Y'all get anything tonight? I'm winding down here. Go to Psalms 78. How many know we are transformed by what? The renewing of our mind, right? So all transformation begins with your mind. If your boundaries are going to get bigger, your thoughts are going to have to get bigger. Your thoughts are going to have to get bigger. Psalm. You know, I grew up, you know, we didn't really think about, you know, paying a vehicle off. We didn't even think about paying cash for a vehicle. Now, of course, the ones that we did pay cash for, you didn't want them parked in your driveway. I did pay cash. First car I bought, I did pay cash for it. Actually, I borrowed the money off of Dad, and I paid him every bit of it back but $60. I still owe him $60, but and I think I tried to give it to him once, and he's like, nah, never mind. But it was, but I borrowed, you know, off Dad, but it was $150. No, that's what I paid for the car. Use your imagination. I mean, even in 1976, a $150 car, you know what I'm talking about, right? It was behind the building. You know how they ran the flags, you know? How many are old enough remember the flag day? They run those little flags across the parking lot to draw your attention. Well, that car wasn't under any flags. It was back behind the building. And so, you know, I bought it for $150. And Dad, bless his heart, man, he put it in the garage and he put Bondo in. He sanded, he Bondoed, man. He got it all the holes plugged up, you know, all the mini holes were plugged up. And then he painted it like, man, it came out looking good when he got done with it, you know. And so after that, then the next car, I paid cash for it. I'm telling you, I paid cash for it, all $800 of it. It was the worst nightmare I've ever had. That car was terrible. Old Ford Fairlane. You know it'd be a Ford. It leaked everywhere. No, really, man. I'm not kidding, man. You didn't take this car through the car wash. You'd get wet. I'm not making this up, man. When it rained, you got wet. And I tried to seal that thing. It never would seal it. Sometimes there's only one answer for a Ford, and that's just blow it up. That's a little joke there. I just a little teasing right there. Someday I may have a Ford, and I'm going to have to eat all these words I've spoken. So anyway, but, you know, after I started buying cars that, you know, were kind of okay to drive, I had to borrow money for all of them, you know. I never thought about having paid off vehicles. It just didn't register with me. I didn't think that way. It wasn't until I got a hold of God and began to grow, and it took several years before I began to think that you could actually pay a vehicle off instead of you wore it out and you hope you weren't upside down in it. You know what I'm saying? You hope, I don't know more than this and what it's worth, you know. I mean, oh, $5,000, it's worth $3,000. Because am I the only one that operated that way? I mean, it's like that. You just didn't think big. You just didn't think. You didn't think high enough. But God and His Word can begin to renew your mind. Right? Now I don't. I've got two vehicles. I don't own either one of them. I'm not bragging. Thank God for it. It was His blessing. I don't own either one of them. Now I'm not saying it's wrong to borrow on a vehicle if you need a vehicle. I'm just simply saying when you do it, pray about it. Amen. Ask God to help you. Get that thing paid off. Right? You know, it's like I use every natural means I can when I have a need. But, you know, God's my supply. He's my ultimate. Amen? All right. Now, Psalm 78, verse 41. It's talking about the children of Israel. It says, yea, Psalm 78, 41, yea, they turned back and they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Did you know you could limit God?
Yeah.
Right? It said they limited him. What does limit means? That means to set boundaries. What about limitless? That means no boundaries. God wants us to allow him to be limitless in our life. Now it tells us this, verse 42, they remembered not his hand or his power, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. How many know we need to remember God's power? Right? Now, You say, well, I don't have any testimonies of God doing anything for me. Well, you got saved, didn't you? You know, people say, how do you know God's alive? Because he changed me. Somebody did. I tried to quit doing stuff. It wasn't until I got born again. Randy's got the same testimony. He and I were heavy drug users. But both of us got the same testimony. When we got born again, it all stopped. Now, something happened. If I remember the story right, Randy smoked marbles at the time. And he was got saved, leaving church, gets his package of marbles out, gets ready to light one. And Miss Susie says, you don't smoke those now, do you? He goes, I guess not. Threw it away, and that was it. Well, how many know you can't do that in the natural when you've been smoking for years upon years upon years? You got to have faith in the power of God to help you. Thank God for all the, you know, the programs that help people. But you know what? God's got a one-step program. Get born again and delivered. Amen. And, you know, if you need some help beyond that, we're not certainly not judging you, criticizing you. We've all had to have some assistance. But know this, God's the one that's going to help you and deliver you. Not standing, I'm for anything that helps people. But listen, not standing up and say, hi, my name is John, I'm an alcoholic. How about, hi, my name is John, I'm a new creature in Christ. Right? Now, I'm not knocking that because that's the best that maybe the world has, and it does help people. But I'm just simply saying we believers, God has higher thoughts about things. He doesn't think 12 steps. He thinks one. Get delivered. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, no condemnation if you have to go through some steps, because probably every one of us have had things in our life that didn't want to budge. Right? And we've kicked it to the curb several times, and somehow the dog came home. And you should run it off again. We had a dog like that one time, showed up. His name was Buckshot. Figured out. Anyway, he wouldn't leave. He wasn't supposed to be there. Somebody dumped him, and so we tried to convince him, you can't stay here. Don't call PETA. The statute of limitations has run out. So finally... we all, you know, Dad just decides, you know, he's not going anywhere. You can stay. I found a home. Next day, somebody ran over and killed him. So anyway, yeah, he was a cursed dog. Oh, he's in heaven. Doggy heaven, yeah. He went up to that big boneyard in the sky. Not all dogs make it. The ones that bite me don't make it, all right? So God wants us. Now, notice God said they limited it. Now, why? They didn't remember his power. So you say, well, I don't have a testimony. How many of this book's full of testimonies? Do you know Paul told the church at Rome, in Romans 15, 4, he said, whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience of the scriptures and might have comfort and hope. So what's that saying? We're supposed to read about Daniel getting delivered, and it's supposed to produce hope in our life that we'll get delivered if we get in the lion's den. We're supposed to read about how God brought provision in the Old Testament, supernaturally. And we're supposed to realize he's the same God today as he was then. Amen? So it's supposed to. So we're supposed to remember his power. Right? So when I face this little insignificant compared to the God's power and ability financial issue, I'm supposed to remember, but there was a widow woman that the prophet said, go borrow some vessels. Not a few. And pour that little bit of oil you got and keep pouring until you run out of vessels. In other words, you determine how much prosperity you want, girl, by how many vessels you get. The more vessels, the more prosperity. She got all I guess she could get. She poured out. And he said, now go sell that, pay the debt, and live, you and your son, on the rest of that. Isn't that something? She only got out of debt, but man, she got enough to live off. We don't know how long she lived off of it. Could have been years. Wow, that's God's thinking. We're thinking, you know, Lord, I just got this $100 electric bill. I guess you don't get $100 electric bills any longer, but I remember the day when they used to put it on a postcard. Wasn't that sneaky? Anybody old enough remember the day you didn't get it in the letter, you got it on a postcard? I mean, the mailman could look at it, wow, man, they use a lot of power. They could see your water bill, your, you know, everything, you know. It was real sneaky of them, put it on a postcard like you're going to get a nice greeting here, you know. Like, it's a bill. I mean, God's well able to take care of that. Minister, he's in heaven now, but it's been years ago. You know, gas several years ago, many years ago, went up to like $4 a gallon. I guess it's there now, right there now. But this was back probably late 90s, early 2000s. It went up, something happened over in the Middle East or something. You know, and he's at the pump complaining. And it's like God just basically speaking, you want to touch the world and you can't even pay $4 for a gallon of gas? You can't even believe me for $4 a gallon and you want to have a ministry worldwide? Like Joyce Meyer says, you want to have victory over the devil, you want to have victory over a sink full of dirty dishes? It's like, you're kidding yourself. You know, you got to start with the small stuff, right? All right. Let's go here. I'm closing with this. Matthew chapter 17. Go there. So we have to go beyond just, you know, our little peanut thinking and think bigger. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can even ask or think. You think big, he'll exceed it. You know, we're not talking about just being, you know, crazy and, you know, oh, man, I'm going to be a billionaire. Well, look, God never promised you that. He's liable to make some people that because he's got purposes for them. Look at this, Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 20. Jesus said to his disciples, he said unto them, because of your unbelief. See, something, they had failure. They want to know why we failed. He said, it's because of your unbelief. I mean, that's usually why we fail, because of our unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's real small, folks. You shall say to this mountain, be removed hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. What's Jesus saying? Guys, enlarge your boundaries. How are you going to do that? By your thinking. You got to change your thinking. You got to think different. You got to think different. Well, I could never have that promotion. I could never have that job. Well, you could if it's the will of God for your life. But you got to start thinking bigger. You got to start thinking. You know, the doctor told me, Pastor, I'll have this affliction the rest of my life. Well, you have a decision right now, because he probably told you the truth. Let me back that up. He probably told you a fact, but the truth will set you free. See, there's something that's facts. There are facts. It's a fact that Abraham was 100 years old. It's a fact that Sarah had been barren all of her life. It's a fact that now Abraham, his body is not working in that area. But the truth is, God said, you're going to have a son. So the truth outweighs the facts every time. So you have to make up your mind that, yeah, all right, what the doctor told me, that's a fact. I'm not. See, you don't deny that. You don't say, well, no, I don't believe that. I deny that. No, no. You go find some truth. Amen. I think a preacher said one time, and I liked what he said. I can't remember now how he said it, so never mind. Anyway, praise the Lord. But it was good. How did he say that? He said, we need to but the facts instead of but the truth. We need to but the facts instead of but the truth. What does that mean? Well, by his stripes, the Bible says by his stripes you were healed. But the doctor said, you just butted the truth. The doctor says it's terminal, but the word says you just butted the facts. You need to but the facts instead of but the truth. Get your butt in the right place. Amen. You got to get your butt in the right place. Amen. God's word can always be final authority in our life. Amen. I always say, I'm not going till it's time for me to go. I'm done running my race. I finished my course. I'm like Paul, you know, now it's time for me to be offered up. It's time for me to go. And I'm not going to let the devil take me out. Amen. I've just determined that when it's time for me to go, I'll just go. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.